From Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound, like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Mary Pfeiffer's book, Reviving Ophelia, she talks about how if we want to know who we were before society's words about our identity and our possibilities and our limitations got too ingrained in us, if we want to know who we started out to be, we should think back about what we wanted to be when we were 10. So I was thinking about that, and what I remember is that when I was 10, I wanted to work at the United Nations. I had seen a movie on TV, and it looked like a lot of fun. And I decided I wanted to be a translator because I wanted to be able to understand what everybody was saying. And I had this French and English dictionary that my grandpa brought back from World War I. So I tried to learn like one word at a time. I wasn't all that successful with that. But what I learned along the way was that I wanted to understand what was being said, and help other people understand what was being said. So that was my goal. I don't know what happened along the way, but I do know that on Friday I got to go to the United Nations with a group from our church, and you're going to hear more about that over time. The story I want to tell you about today is the moment where we were in the room where the Security Council meets. Now, the Security Council is made up of people from 15 different countries whose job it is to try to keep the world at peace. The thing is, though, they speak about 15 different languages. And so there are 6 United Nations languages, and there are translators up above, and you wear earbuds, and whichever one is closest to you, you get translated into, so that you can hear and understand. Each person hearing what they need to hear in at least one of the 6 languages. So on that day of Pentecost, there were a lot more than 6 languages spoken in Jerusalem. And the person speaking was a Galilean, but the people listening came from at least 17 different places. And they all heard the gospel in their own native language. They all heard about God's deed of power in words they could understand. This is a powerful lesson for us, to hear that God wants to speak to us in ways that we can hear and understand. To hear that the Spirit, the part of the Trinity that most people feel like they don't understand as well, although I'm proud of our kids that they at least knew there was a third part of the Trinity, that this Spirit was promised to the disciples by Jesus. And this Spirit is alive and moving in the space between people who already know the good news, people who need to hear it, people who need to hear it again. The Spirit is continually moving in and among and around us, telling us of God's power in the world and in our lives, trying to find a way to be heard in our own native tongues. In this room, there are actually many different languages and dialects, and God is speaking to you in all of them. But even beyond the language the way we usually think of it, there are other native languages in which we might find it easier to hear the voice of God coming to us. Languages like music that inspires us, fills us up, helps us to hear and praise God, to be thankful for God. And then I was thinking about Tim Tebow. Anybody remember him? When he was in college, he put John 3:16 in that black stuff under his eyes, and he just about broke the internet because so many people were curious what that was and heard the words of the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, through sports. Some of us get stuck in the language of materialism. We speak the language of money. And for God to get through to us, it seems as if God would need to get our attention through money. That's what the televangelists are saying when they say, God will give you more money if you first send your money to me. There's a priest from India. His name is Anthea DeMello. And he tells a story about a rich industrialist from North India who found a southern fisherman laying beside his boat halfway through the day. And he said, "Why aren't you fishing?" And the fisherman said, "Because I've caught enough fish for the day." "Well, why don't you catch some more?" "What would I do with them?" You could earn more money. With that, you could fix a motor to your boat, and you could go out into deeper waters and catch more fish. And then you would make enough money to buy a nylon net, and then you would bring more fish and more money. And soon you would have enough money to own 2 boats, maybe even a fleet of boats. Then you would be rich, like me. Well, what would I do then? Well, then you could really enjoy life. And the fisherman looked around to the sun he was soaking in, and the beautiful sky, and the boat that he was laying next to, and he said, "What do you think I'm doing now?" Sometimes God speaks to us in our own language, maybe not exactly the way we'd like to hear it, challenging us to what our language has become in us. And then there was a group of students from a Lutheran seminary who go annually on a trip to the Holy Land, and they were reading this language of the Bible that they'd been immersing themselves in for 3 years in the Holy Land. They were at the Mount of Beatitudes. And the worship service began with someone reading from the Sermon on the Mount. And just as she read Matthew 6:26, "Consider the birds of the air," two beautiful green birds flew out of the tree that was next to them. And then they went on to the site of Peter's denial of Jesus and stood and heard roosters crowing. And then they were at the Jordan River at the remembrance of the site of the baptism. And a white dove was perched beside the river. So what do you think? Is the Spirit still speaking to us now? It's easy to explain away stories like that as coincidences. They don't really mean anything. But what if instead we decide that the Spirit is around us, telling us to pay attention, wanting us to notice? Jesus promised that the Spirit would go forward with the disciples that came after him when he wasn't there in body anymore. Do we believe that the Spirit is still speaking and is always speaking? If we pay attention, maybe we'll notice that the Spirit is speaking to us here and now, looking for ways to point us toward the miraculous power of God at work in the world, even now. At this table today is the language of the sacrament, the bread that means body of Christ broken for us, the cup of the covenant that reminds us of the blood of Christ shed for us. In this sacrament, we hear the language of suffering and the language of hope. And those are both languages that are or will be our native language at some point in our lives. Those are both languages that God lifts up for us to hear in the heart of the gospel. Turns out you don't have to work at the UN to be a translator. Turns out we can do it for each other every day as we help each other hear and experience and respond to the gospel, to the good news of the wind of the Spirit blowing in and through our lives. In Jesus' name.